Hello and welcome to Generation Justice. I'm Kamaria Umi, and we're broadcasting from the University of New Mexico, KUNM 89.9 FM, news and music that connects. Generation Justice is a multimedia project aimed at youth to create media that is committed to social change. In honor of Mother's Day, we have dedicated tonight's show to the marvelous women who shape, direct, and lead our community. On April 10th, the Middle Rio Grande chapter of the YWCA held its 28th annual Women on the Move Award. According to their website, this prestigious event recognizes women of New Mexico for their leadership, commitment, innovation, focus, and dedication to community. Tonight, we air that ceremony and honor these women.
Welcome, everyone, to the 2014 Women on the Move Awards. This year is our 28th year of the Women on the Move Awards. I'm Amy Whitfield, and I am the proud president and CEO of the YWCA New Mexico. I want to thank you all for being here tonight to help us honor those who are allied with us in our mission of eliminating racism and empowering women. Great mission, really great mission. Tonight is a night to highlight the exceptional women in our community, the work they do to challenge and change systems of injustice, and their significant accomplishments. Women on the Move are champions, champions for the YWCA mission, eliminating racism and empowering women. They demonstrate commitment to sharing knowledge, expertise, and talents, enriching our community and fostering equity and inclusion for all socioeconomic groups. They make a difference in the lives of others, inspiring positive action and change. All of the women nominated tonight have been active in creating change for our community through their personal and professional accomplishments, their time and dedication to their passions. Please help me give a round of applause to all the Women on the Move nominees here tonight.
La Estrella Award is presented to a woman who has achieved greatness in her field, often overcoming barriers to be the first. This evening we present La Estrella Award to Major General Sandra Finnan. Major General Finnan has been a star in her field, serving as the first female commander of the Air Force Nuclear Weapons Center on Kirtland Air Force Base, where I work. Nuclear weapon, her commands included a space operations squadron and missile wing. Major General Finnan has deployed to the Combined Air Operations Center in Southeast Asia as the Director of Space Forces in support of Operations Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom. Major General Finnan is La Estrella for the heights she has achieved and reached. The YWCA has named a star in Major General Finnan's honor. I hope each of you had a chance to take a look at it. Please help me welcome Major General Sandra Finnan to the stage.
Well, I feel honored to be recognized with this incredible honor. I tell you, I looked through the bios of the people that you're presenting awards to today, and I am so humbled to be in your presence. I look at all the amazing things that all of you have done in every imaginable field. I want to thank you for your tremendous work in so many important areas. Women's health, job training, empowerment. I want to thank the YWCA for the change that you have affected. You address meaningful matters that affect today and the future. The Young Women's Christian Association and the Air Force share many common interests, as the Air Force has made great strides in gender equality. In 1948, 1 year after the Air Force was officially named a separate service, President Harry Truman signed the Women's Armed Services Integration Act, allowing women to serve directly in the military alongside their male counterparts. shortly after the Women in the Air Force program was established to bring women to a multitude of roles. At its inception, Women in the Air Force was limited to 4,000 enlisted women and 300 female officers, less than 4% of the total active duty population. Although each of these women were encouraged to fill different roles, they were assigned to ground duties, clerical duties, medical duties. They were very restricted in what they could do. For the next 30 years, women integrated into more career fields with the 1967 repeal of the 2% cap, because at that point there was a 2% cap on how many women could serve in the Air Force. And they lifted the restriction that the highest grade that a woman could hold. There was also a restriction on what rank you could hold, which shattered the ceiling for a number of women, including people like myself. I want to just tell you a really quick short story about when we were women on missile crew. Right, so in my bio it says I commanded a missile unit. So we were the first women on missile crew. And when we went on to be these crews, these are two-person crews, we had gender-specific crews, right, because they didn't want to mix the men and the women. And so they sent us, four of us up, because there's two people on a crew, so we had two crews of women. And they kept us kind of segregated, and we went out there to do our duty. Two women, unafraid, although we were actually very afraid. Because this was a new and different world, and we couldn't benefit from the experience that the men had, right? When a man would come up and become a crew member on this two-person crew, one person would be senior, and they would bring along the younger, teach them, you know, how to do business. So we came up there as crew members, the four of us women, and it was all new to us. So yes, we were a little afraid. But shortly after we got there, the Air Force decided to progress even farther, right? Because this is brand new to have women on the force. They decided, enough of that, it's time to integrate crews. So we're gonna have two-person crews that are a man and a woman. That will be okay. Well, of course, there was a lot of concern about that. And we had to go meet all the wives. We did, because it wasn't as much the men as it was actually the wives were nervous about us being on crew. You know, we're gonna have this close relationship. Only bad things are gonna come of that. When you put a man and a woman together, it's just gonna be bad. So we spent a lot of time meeting the wives and, you know, getting to know them and let them get to know us, let them know we weren't really all evil and we weren't gonna steal their husbands away, it's gonna be okay. At that point in time, a man had an option. He could say, I do not want to be crewed with a woman. And that was okay. The Air Force said, that's fine, that's your right, not to say that you don't want to pull duty with a woman. Well, that has very much changed today. Because you know what happens today if somebody says, I don't want to pull duty with a woman? It's time for you to say goodbye. Because you don't belong in what we do. So the world has changed a lot in a very short period of time. And as I look out here at all of you, much of the reason our world has changed is because of you. Now, the United States has made great strides. The military has made great strides. But out there in the world, there are still a lot of great strides that we need to make. Worldwide, women have worked hard to gain equal footing. The journey has been challenging at times, but we've made those great strides. We're nearing our destination, but we are not there yet. There is still much work to be done, and we need the continued effort of organizations like the YWCA and the work that you all do to raise awareness. I've been told that the YWCA is one of the oldest and largest women's organizations in the United States, and began fighting for opportunity and equality long before the Air Force came into being. I also understand your volunteers have supported social movements for more than 150 years. You have made a difference. I applaud these efforts. And again, I am very grateful for the incredible award that you've presented to me tonight. And I cannot tell you how honored I am to be here with all of you and how humbled I am to be selected for this magnificent award. Thank you very, very much.
The Woman to be Reckoned With Award is presented to a woman in the community who has made significant contributions to social and racial justice and the empowerment of women. Someone who has challenged the status quo and moved us beyond what we saw as possible. Tonight we present the Woman to be Reckoned With Award to Jennifer Metzler. Ms. Metzler is the Executive Director of Albuquerque Healthcare for the Homeless. She has long worked towards social and racial justice, developing programs in Latin America, serving on the board of directors for community-based and socially active organizations, and being outspoken for change in community health and social services. Please put your hands together for Ms. Jennifer Metzler.
I followed instructions. So I'm not going to follow the instructions of some of my friends who told me to be really concise and say thank you and get off the stage. I'm just really, really honored. I'm really impressed by the board and the staff and the volunteers of the YWCA tonight. I worked with a lot of boards of directors. You have made this such a warm and welcoming and celebratory and easy evening and event. So. Thank you to the committee and everyone here tonight. I have to tell you, Amy Whitfield called me several months ago. I was like, I got a call from Amy Whitfield. I was so excited. Because I have so much respect and appreciation for her, and this community is so fortunate to have her leadership, and we should all follow, because... She's incredible, and there's so much more to come. And so, Amy, thank you for this opportunity just to connect with you as well. I have to say that Albuquerque Healthcare for the Homeless, my colleagues, the board of directors is here tonight, the senior team and the people that support them and committee members are just unbelievable. You are outstanding. I love to go to work every day. I love being in la lucha with all of you every day. You're really unbelievable people, and you know that because I left and came back. So it's a really extraordinary group, and it really... part of why I went back to healthcare for the homeless is because there is such a platform for fighting that good fight every single day. There's a lot of time we spend wrangling things, and I was out in the community doing other things, and I went running back because I missed that platform for doing the important and the hard work together with all of you. So thanks for being here this evening. I also have to acknowledge and thank my family and friends. There's so many of my friends here from all over the state. It surprised me. My partner, the love of my life, Mark Allison, is here. And he reminds me about what matters most and how to be present in that every day. Sometimes it's not easy to reckon with me when you live with me. But he's and he can do a whole riff on that. But he really... supports the important things as well. And the two very, very handsome young men that I'm so proud of who are there with him, Jack and Levin Allison, his sons, have taught me things that I... I'm going to do this. I'm going to gird my loins and dress cute, and I'll tell you what that's about as well. Some of you know it already. But I'm so proud of them, and I've learned so much about what it is to live with boys and now young men who are going to be really good men in the world. And I didn't know that I'd have that opportunity in my life, so thank you every day for teaching me that. Thank you to Mark's mom, Kathy Allison, and Josh Allison, who's here. The Allisons have taken me into their family in recent years, and I really appreciate that, especially lately. So I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to get through some points about what's on my mind. There are my parents, and there are no words to talk about how much my parents mean to me, and who I am, my values, my life, the way I choose to live it. And some of you know that I lost my mother on February 2nd. So the last few months have really been very unmapped, uncharted territory for me. It's about recapturing her life, the fullness of it, what that means for our family and friends, what it means for me, the work we do, and how you get up every day without your mother. So I'm going to indulge a little bit, maybe not be very focused and organized. But there's some things that have been on my mind that are always on my mind and have been since then, and many of you have experienced a lot of these as well. And I thought about talking over the last couple months. You know, there's always this conversation, this great event, this great opportunity. How do I talk about what's important and what might I focus on? So I thought about Albuquerque Healthcare for the Homeless, of course, yes. I thought about talking about homelessness, definitely, because we do all the time. I thought about talking about the women who've been found on the West Mesa. Of course, and essentially, because we can't forget them. I thought about reproductive justice, absolutely, the things this community has experienced recently. Definitely today, I especially thought about talking about law enforcement and the use of force. And I thought about listing all the women who have mentored me and taught me and indulged me. So many of you are in the audience today, and I thank you all for helping me think things through, and also for having the love and courage to say to me, you are not my job today. Because that was love. You need to learn to go figure this out for yourself. And that's the kind way it was said. I know it was with a lot of love. Sometimes it was a little more explicit. Like, I do this work every day. Go somewhere else. But that would take a lot. That would take just a list of those people would take. And we all have them. That's why we're all here. We're all part of that. So that's the abbreviated list of important and really timely things that I find relevant for this evening. I could add the congressional budget. Did the House just pass the budget? The mean-spirited? Anyhow. but I don't know if I have the emotional, intellectual wherewithal for you all to stick with me today. So I'm going to give myself permission to be a little less profound. But like the mission, I'm going to try to be really simple and direct and straightforward, like the mission of the YWCA and the reason that we're here this evening. And then I'm going to pause and I'm going to say thank you everyone who contributed to this event this evening and to this amazing organization. Anita Cordova is going to love me for this, for modeling how to do this. Sorry about that. If you haven't given, give to this organization. If you don't feel maybe you've given enough, give more. If you know someone else who can give, andale! Our philanthropy is really about social change, and so support this. This is a fundraiser. Support this organization. And I know a lot about missions and not-for-profit organizations. I've worked in the industry my entire professional life. I grew up in a very global family that was committed to service and to justice and change. And I believe that our nonprofit culture often holds us back. So I'm speaking to what I know. And I think it doesn't have to. And I think we can all commit to doing our work in ways that eliminate oppression of all forms. And I think that's what the Y is very straightforward and frankly about. So at Healthcare for the Homeless, I'm glad that there was talk this evening about the status quo. You know, is it okay? Because in my life, every single day, I can opt out of anything except accepting the status quo. I have a lot of privilege. So at Healthcare for the Homeless, we have been known to very explicitly question whether the status quo is okay. When we're tired, when it feels like the whole world's coming at us, at 10 o'clock this morning, is the status quo okay? One day, maybe it will be, and that's great. We can say, yeah, it's okay. The world's good. There's justice. There's equality. We're all good. But we're not there yet. There's still work to do. That list is thematic, and you can all add things to it, I'm certain. So how do we understand what the basis of our need to change it is and how we go about doing that? We know that it's not okay if the status quo is based on charity that derives some sort of satisfaction born of privilege, on the one hand. On the other, using our privilege to just explain and explain and tell people what they ought to know and point our fingers at them is not effective either. So we need to learn to be more effective. And I think to do that, we need to do our work. We need to understand privilege and power, and we have to be able to talk about it. And that means race, too. Talking about race is frightening for many of us. So we don't. We talk about all other kinds of oppression, which can be frightening too, but we find lots of different ways not to talk about race. So because of the explicit mission of this organization, I just want to keep that front and center. So I'm talking a lot about people whose work is to be an ally in whatever form in eliminating oppression and fighting it. That's my role. So I think we have an obligation to use our privilege and power well and to be really aware of it. And it's such an imperfect thing. You know, and then we need lots of help, and sometimes we need for people to tell us to go figure it out somewhere else. But here's what I've got. This is as much as I have tonight, and I'll go down the list, and then I'll sign off. I promise, maybe, unless you want to have a facilitated conversation. We got great facilitators in the room, right? I'm a talker, but I'm not a speaker or a presenter. I'm really a facilitator. So this is where I think the work starts for me anyhow. This is what I commit to and I want to recommit to this evening and hope many of you can think about and commit to together, because then we don't diminish our power, we're stronger. These are some guiding principles I've learned or been taught along the way and that I try to remember and apply every day. So the mission of the YWCA about empowering women, I'm going to mix it up a little bit and take one at a time. I want to say I'm a feminist and I grew up in a feminist household. And I don't apologize for that or qualify it. You know, and you can all do that however you want, but I think we have to be able to state who we are first and foremost and know that. When I think about empowerment, and I think about power and privilege and how we can really make change to the status quo, to the world that we want to live in, we can't empower anyone. We can hold a container together. The art therapist taught me that at Art Street. There are Art Street artists in the room somewhere. We can hold the container together and then people can become empowered in that, but the internal locus of control, the location where power happens, is internal. If we grant power, we can take it away. So in order to share it, I think that's a really important distinguishing factor when we're having conversations about empowering people or people becoming empowered. And I think the YWCA lives that, certainly. But I think that's real critical and nuanced, and often we don't. We skim over that one too. Eliminating racism, I'm an ally. I come from, we talk about impression being an ally. Almost every dominant culture place to come from, I come from it. Top of the hierarchy, I'm a white woman, I'm highly educated, I grew up middle class. I mean, let's go down the list of all the things, my privilege and my power. So I've learned from some really incredible people. And what I've learned from them is to be an ally. It means I have to listen and trust others' stories. Not question them, not challenge them. It's their experience, not mine. I need to listen. I need to see and understand my privilege. I have to recognize all forms of oppression, but again, I'm going to say I have to be able to talk about race, even when I'm scared, even when I'm not qualified to do it. Promoting peace, justice, freedom, and dignity for all. If I go into that one, then I'm going to get carried out of the room by some people. But those are the things that were on my mind. So I walked in the door with that conviction this evening and thinking about that a lot and really honored by this organization with that. And I'm going to walk out with a strength and commitment and recommitment too. Helping to establish the starting point for the conversation that will make real change and being a part of that. That means acknowledging that everyone experiences and has biases. All of us, including me. That it's essential to understand the context of historical, institutional, systemic racism and trauma. We talk about that a lot at Healthcare for the Homeless. And that fighting racism and all kinds of oppression is not an add-on. It needs to be how we live and how we do everything we do. So I commit never to say, and you can hold me to this, that I'm not a racist. Or that I don't have racist or other kinds of oppressive thoughts or behaviors. That I'm colorblind, that one's a hard thought. Of course I'm not. We aren't. No one is. We shouldn't be. Look at what we'd miss if we didn't embrace all that we are. I commit to interrupt oppression, to redefine the conversation of what's important, when others say all these other things that I'm not going to say. I commit, and some of these, so I don't make, nothing's original. I borrow from everybody, and some of you, you're going to know exactly who this one comes from. Roberto Cheney, Margaret Wheatley. I commit to share the mutual exhaustion, because it's exhausting. I commit to be willing to be disturbed. I commit not to internalize the oppression and marginalization of the people that our service organizations in particular are committed to serving and making change for. Because how pathetic is that? We're not going to get anything done. People who are experiencing homelessness, you know, I don't know if some of you saw Kim Klein recently. She's talking about the oppression Olympics of the nonprofit sector. Whose population is more, like, what's that? I don't know what that is. So I won't do that. And because I borrow so freely from others, I don't know if anyone was listening to Amy Goodman yesterday, I believe it was, and Arundhati Roy was on, and she read an excerpt from one of her speeches and essays. And so she's talking about talking to a friend and saying that, live while you're alive and die only when you're dead. And the friend said, well, what's that mean? So she wrote it down on a napkin. And I'm going to commit to what she wrote down and ask you all to consider it. To commit to love and to be loved. To never forget your own insignificance. To never get used to the unspeakable violence and the vulgar disparity around you. To seek joy in the saddest places. To pursue beauty to its lair. To never simplify what is complicated or complicate what is simple. To respect strength, never power. And above all, to watch, to try and understand, to never look away, and never, never to forget. So to all the nominees and honorees and everyone in this room, you're here because it matters. As women on the move, sisters in motion just keeps coming to head. Never stop moving. I'm committing to continue to shake it up with you. So gird your loins and always remember to dress cute. And that is from Joan Carol Stoker Metzler. Every time she sent me off to do hard work, that's what she said. Thank you.
The Women on the Move Awards inducts each year women who have contributed to racial and social justice and the empowerment of women. The selection of the awardees is based on an objective analysis by reviewers. Nominations are made by people in the community who have seen the woman's passion, professional accomplishments, and personal commitment to being an ally of the YWCA mission. Each nomination was evaluated by three different reviewers in addition to the nomination committee members. Nominations were scored on the following criteria: life experiences of major impact, priorities and areas of interest, commitment and passion, personal and professional accomplishments, and their effect on others through inspiration, advocacy, training, and more. Scores were normalized and the top nominees were selected to become Women on the Move inductees, which to date has honored more than 1,000 women for their personal and professional accomplishments and the impact on the community. And now, it's time to announce the 2014 Women on the Move inductees. On the nomination form, we asked the nominator to tell us about the nominee's effect on others through inspiration, advocacy, and training. We would like to announce the awardees with the answer to this question. Adrian Barboa, fall of 2013, Adrian provided a 3-hour grassroots fundraising training to the staff of the Media Literacy Project. She provided information, facilitated role plays, and inspired staff to learn how to ask supporters to donate to our organization. As a result of her work, MLP has created a long-term donor plan, and all staff participate in weekly grassroots fundraising asks. For the 2014 legislative session, Adrian coordinated the first Strong Families Day at the Roundhouse. She pulled together organizations working on various issues: immigration, reproductive justice, education, youth development, media justice, and health equity, so that we could carry a collective voice that uplifted each other's work and ensured the integration of an intersectional framework in our advocacy. The Strong Families Day also released the first New Mexico Strong Families Report Card. The report card was created in partnership with multiple organizations in our state and was an overview of the 2013 legislative session. It graded the 2013 policies based on whether or not they supported the people and families of New Mexico. This report card let legislators know that we wanted the 2014 session to work for our communities and benefit all of our families. The next awardee is Christian Bach. Christian's reach goes far beyond the young women in her Explosive Expression program. When she and I are in the community, countless mothers, fathers, and siblings of her youth greet her with open arms and thanks. I've had the opportunity to attend several workshops that Ms. Bass has facilitated, and everyone has been educational, interactive, and engaging. Young women stay after the workshop just to talk to her and ask follow-up questions pertaining to their new view of themselves, thanks to her class. She is an asset to any woman at any age who has experienced homelessness, sexual objectification, and or the sense of disconnect from a community, thanks to her personal experiences and through her ongoing education. When I am seeking counsel on how to talk to my teenage sister about adolescent development, Mrs. Bass is the first person I turn to, as I have seen her work in action and know that her method is effective in mentoring young women. She is a wonderful teacher and is well respected in our community due to her commitment to the young women she serves daily. And the next awardee is Melissa Ewer. Melissa has had the opportunity to train many of Albuquerque's currently practicing immigration attorneys during her 14 years of commitment to Catholic Charities. She continually seeks to provide internship opportunities for law students and frequently presents at UNM and other locales to keep up-and-coming attorneys abreast of the changes in the field of immigration law. Currently, two legal advocates work under her purview. Moreover, she served in 2013 as a Bridge the Gap mentor for the State Bar of New Mexico, during which time she mentored a newly admitted attorney. She has been a guest speaker for UNM School of Law and a trainer for shelters statewide. And the next awardee is Caprice Pino. PB&J Family Services is New Mexico's only child abuse prevention program that works with the entire family. The work is grueling. It brings us into jails, prisons, homeless shelters, courtrooms, and homes. Caprice has coached all of us. She is available to her colleagues and her clients 24/7, always inspiring us to meet the needs of the families we serve while keeping our boundaries to ensure our own safety mentally and physically. One of our colleagues at PB&J recently overdosed. We know that none of us are sheltered from the stress of our work. Caprice is our guide for making an impact, measuring our success, and letting the friendship of our closest colleagues carry us through even the hardest times. Imagine being in a men's prison, naked men showering, yelling things to intimidate, and in walks Caprice, unafraid, looking each one in the eye and immediately gaining a respect. Because they know this PB&J lady will have their back, she earned a reputation for being strong in her advocacy, holding each of them accountable for the harm they have caused. They know she is their ticket to being the men that they wish to be, the father they so badly want to be. She's fueled by a belief that in order to keep women safe, we must also work with the men in our lives, and she's right. For this and a million other reasons, it is our honor to nominate her as a woman on the move. The next woman on the move inductee is Roberta Rael. Roberta has spent the last 8 years training youth to become media makers. During these years, over 50 New Mexican youth have received outstanding training on effective storytelling, interviewing, on-air delivery, and producing a one-hour radio show. It's important to note that Roberta created Generation Justice as a way to train the next generation of media makers. The youth also learn about the social injustices and structural inequalities that underrepresented communities struggle to overcome. Many of the youth, approximately 39, who come to Generation Justice have pursued a higher education, and the majority of them are youth of color. Roberta uses her own story as well as local and national trainers to inspire youth to chase their dreams. Here is a quote from Victor Torres, who has worked with Roberta for the past 4 years. Generation Justice has opened my eyes to the world. I have learned so much about social justice issues, both nationally and internationally. Most of my memorable moments have come from being a part of Generation Justice, from talking about disability rights to interviewing local and national activists and policymakers about being involved in their community. It has been an experience I will never forget. And the next woman on the move inductee is Nkazi Sinandil. I attended a 4th Street Theater program where Nkazi and Lungil were performing South African dance and song with children ages 8 to 15. I was struck by their sweet spirit of connection and their introducing children to theater and performance. Then, at a Saturday event to celebrate children's progress in learning English, looking into the eyes of approximately 100 children who are not assured home income, housing, food, or educational programs in their native languages was a transforming experience for me. In response, I will support IRRVA in whatever ways I can. Nkazi respectfully shines light on concepts of justice in a situation in which immigrants and refugees reported continued unfair treatment. Meetings and discussions were held but failed to resolve issues. With humility, Nkazi went on a 16-day refugee hunger awareness strike. On the 12th day, the Albuquerque Journal and TV station KOB interviewed the immigrants and broke the story, Refugees in Our Midst. Nkazi inspires harmony across African communities, addressing tensions based on tribal histories and allegiances. Nkazi communicates long-term commitment to at-risk, hard-to-reach men and women, not only to improve their lives, but also to empower them to be active participants working together with other community members to enrich their lives. So let's give one more big round of applause for the 2014 Women on the Move inductees.
So thank you all so much for being here this evening, for coming to honor our nominees and our awardees. We also thank you for how you have contributed to the work of the YWCA. All proceeds from this event go toward funding the YWCA New Mexico and our programs. And we also hope that you go home as a winner today also. So as we close, I want to congratulate all of our Women on the Move nominees and winners. We thank each of you for your contribution to our community. Thank you to all of our distinguished speakers. Thank you very much, Justice V. Hill, and thank you, Tanea, for being our MC tonight. I also want to thank the Women on the Move Committee, because every year you do tireless work to make sure this event goes off smoothly. And thank you to you all for being a part of this celebration and a part of the Women on the Move. Thank you. Good night.
We'd like to take this time to congratulate all of the 2014 Women on the Move recipients and honorees. A special congratulations to Generation Justice's very own founder and director, Roberta Rael. The Generation Justice staff worked together in secret to nominate Roberta. Thank you for all that you do for us and the community. We want to thank everyone who made the show possible. Special thanks to the Middle Rio Grande chapter of YWCA for organizing such a poignant event that recognizes the hardworking woman in our community. We'd also like to thank Roberta Rael, Melissa Harris, and Rashawn Mahmood for producing this show. I was the engineer and audio editor for tonight's show. We'd also like to thank all of our youth media makers here at Generation Justice. Without you all, we would be incomplete. Stay connected with us. Check out our website, generationjustice.org, where you can listen to all of our past shows, see our music playlists, and watch our videos. You can also see the music playlist at kunm.org by searching for Generation Justice. We're also active on social media, so please like us on Facebook by searching for Generation Justice and follow us on Twitter at GenJustice. Tweet, tweet! Generation Justice is funded by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation with additional funding from the McCune Foundation and, of course, all of you who have contributed to our project by visiting our website and clicking donate. We're now recruiting for Generation Justice Fellows. Are you interested in multimedia journalism? Do you want to use media to make a difference? If so, then you should definitely check out Generation Justice. Go on our website, generationjustice.org, and download an application today. The deadline for our fellowship is May 19th, so get those applications in as soon as possible. Thank you again for listening. I'm Kamri Umi. We'll close with a few songs, and next up is Spoken Word. Happy Mother's Day. See you all next week.
Fathers, be good to your daughters. Daughters will love like you do.
kind of lovers who turn into mothers. So mothers, be good to your daughters too.
En la misma cama soñarán ella y él. Él con el amor que conquistó, ella con él, ella con él. Ella le dirá que siente amor solo por él.
I'd go hungry, I'd go black and blue. I'd go crawling down the avenue. There ain't nothing that I wouldn't do to make you feel my love.
I wanna scream so loud for you, 'cause I'm so proud of you. And I, let me tell you what I'm about to do. I know I act a fool, but I promise you I'm going back to school. I appreciate what you allow for me, and I just want you to be proud.
I wanna tell the whole world about a friend of mine. This little light of mine, I'm finna let it shine. I'm finna take y'all back to them better times. I'm finna talk about my mama if y'all don't mind. I was 3 years old.